Lord, we thank you for all of these little ones, Lord. We thank you that they are here today, Lord. We thank you for those that are helping and working in the basement to teach them your word. So, Father, I just pray, as we know your word does not return void, that you would bless them and you would keep them, that, Lord, your spirit would rest upon them. Lord, we thank you that you are here. When two or more are gathered, your presence, it is with us, Lord. You are moving in this place over hearts and minds, and we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you give us strength when we are weak. We thank you that, Lord God, you help us understand and walk in the ways that you've called us to do. So, Lord, we thank you. I ask that you would open our hearts to your word, that we would be encouraged, uplifted, convicted, and changed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Sometimes we think, you might think your job is not important or not seen. You're just, I don't know how many people are mailmen in here. Okay, I will continue. I'm not speaking against mailman. When I was a mailman, I was a casual carrier, which was another fancy name for saying you were the person who got all the routes that no one wanted in hopes to one day have a career at the post office. But when you're working there and you're sorting mail for the first part in the morning, at first it's overwhelming. You don't know how you're going to remember each box with every address. Just think of Red Bluff. And for the first 2 hours or so, you're sorting mail. And there's people in there like this. And when you start, you're like, right? And at the end of the day, even after that, then you get in the mail jeep and you go out and you deliver the mail. You go through all the different streets, every street you can imagine, streets you didn't even know exist in Red Bluff. And then you come back the next day and there's more mail to sort. And you don't get to see what you're doing, right? That's what I mean. When you think that you might not be seen in what you're doing or that it's making a difference, it's hard to gauge how even you're doing in your job, possibly. When I think of the shepherds, I think of something similar to that. Here are men in that time. If you were a shepherd, most people wouldn't even associate, much less look at you. They would literally, you can imagine, they would want to shave. They won't even touch you. One, because you're dirty. You're in the field all day. Sheep require a lot of maintenance and a lot of work. And you're not even in that, you're in the outskirts of all the towns. And most people figured if you were a shepherd, that's what you were going to do. And you wouldn't be allowed. So the religious people almost didn't even see the shepherds. And if they did, they probably snubbed them and were rude to them. And I think about how significant that is, because when you think about who God showed himself to first, when you see that he went to those that were doing a mundane job, they were just out in the field doing what they normally always would do, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and in that translation, the Shekinah glory shone around them. And when it says a host of angels, it is a host is 10,000 upon 10,000. Now, we don't know how they saw it. Maybe it was in a vision, or maybe God opened the heavens so that they can see, but it doesn't sound like everyone got to see. The shepherds got to see. Going and doing, and on any other day, they were just doing what they were doing, and the Lord appeared to them. The lowly, the people that are most likely to be broken and down, God spoke and moved there. And I want to look a little deeper into that, because I think it's important, because it shows a lot about God's character and how he relates to us. So it says, and as the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch, we are in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." Think about the picture here. First, he goes not only to the shepherds, but before that, we see that he picks Mary and Joseph, and we know that they were poor, right? We can see that they're poor. In fact, when they go, there was no room for them in the inn. Would you turn a pregnant lady away that's about to give birth? Right? She's about to give birth, and they turned her away. Even as a child, as a baby, before he's even out of his mother's womb, he was rejected by men. He was rejected by men. When you think about that and how God chose to use those who were humble, he used in the most mighty way, not just in this story, but in every story you read, God chooses to use those who are pliable, broken, and know that they need a Savior. They're humble, and they ask, and they want to be used by God. Mary and Joseph had to go deal with this tax situation, right? They were called to this other town to do a census. We talked about that last week. And as they went to this town to do a census, they probably didn't even know at that moment that they were fulfilling prophecy. We always wonder, what is God doing? Our little minds can't even comprehend, one, not only what he's prepared for those that love him, you and me, if we choose to serve him and follow him. We can't even grasp or comprehend what he has set aside for you and me. It goes beyond the tangible things of this world that you can see and the monetary or the short blessings and the things that we think make us happy now. We're talking about a relational peace that comes from us being right with God, and it only comes from him, but we must yield to him. When I see this picture, I mean, you can see the story. And as a manger, we have a nice, pretty manger. But let's be honest, it's a stall. And in the manger, it could be a trough. It's smelly. It's dirty. It's not a place where a woman should give birth. It's not a clean environment. And the people in the inn, the people with the comforts, the people with everything, they could see this woman, and that's how disassociated they would be with meeting the need of someone else in that society at that time, so much so that they wouldn't give up their room for someone who's going to give birth. And here, you don't think that Joseph and Mary were wondering, even for just one second, if it was all true? What the angels had said to them, what the Lord had said to them. It didn't seem like it. If you were looking at comfort and everything going easy, this isn't the path. But yet they remained faithful. And when you think about it, God uses and moves. He's moving right now in this place. We underestimate what God can do. We underestimate that God is moving. We go, well, I just don't know. I don't feel like my prayers are answered. There are certain things in your life. We know this from Hebrews chapter 11. There are certain things, promises of God that you may never see. It does not mean that he's not faithful. But in your lifetime, you might not get to see it. God is faithful to his word and watches over it to perform it. When I think of the barn, the poverty that they were in when they were traveling, if he had money, he could have bought a room. He could have paid someone off. He didn't have money. So we know that Jesus was born not in a hospital, and he wasn't under a doctor's care. He was rejected by the innkeeper just like the world would reject him. Think of all the people that were missing the Messiah at this moment. They don't even know who they're dealing with. and he was rejected. And then when you know that when Mary gave birth, it says that she wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes. I don't know, but I was there when both of my boys were born. And I don't see my wife as strong and as awesome as she is after just giving birth, wrapping one of our boys immediately after. Mary wrapped this child in a stall that smelled like all stalls do. Think about that picture. Think about how hard that might have been physically. And not just physically, emotionally. You're holding on to something. You know that you are bringing forth the Messiah into the world. She knew that. You don't think she's like, isn't there a better way than a manger? What does that say about God? When I think about it, what does that say about him? We know the Jewish leaders of the time, the religious leaders, didn't want to accept God on the way that he presented it through prophecy. They wanted a political God, if you will. Someone that will free them from the atrocities of Rome and give them their land and make it really nice and easy. And yet they were supposed to be a light to the world, and they failed because they couldn't get past themselves. And they missed the very thing they treasured. And when I say treasured, they memorized it and passed it down for generations. They knew when Jesus spoke the scriptures, when he stood up there and said, today this is fulfilled in your midst, when he says when he came in the temple that one day, they knew, he knew scriptures that most people wouldn't know unless you sat underneath these teachers of the law. And yet somehow it wasn't the way they wanted. They couldn't imagine God humbly coming in the form of a baby, in a manger of all places. And he surely wouldn't reveal himself to shepherds. They're not holy people at all. Just like Jesus, when he went to the temple, they rejected him, but guess who didn't? The fishermen. You know why I think that is? When you get a man that's hardened or a woman that's hardened by life, you'll get someone who will call a spade a spade. They're not pretending. Their feet are in the trenches and they're working. They're in the midst of it, in the hard turmoil of life, whatever might throw them, they're going to call it for what it is most of the time, and they're going to be real. And in the midst of that, Jesus knew he could talk to these men and say it like it is. And they were more positioned in a place to become humble and broken before him than these people who thought they had it all together. I love that that's how we get to see God's love for us, because it speaks volumes to me. That God loves me in spite of my mistakes and my failures, in spite of the disappointments that I might have been to others, or whatever we deal with in life, God sees me and loves me as he loves you. More than what you think you can do or what you think you can give, God loves you. You are a child of God if you've made him the Lord of your life. And I think it's wonderful that God speaks to us today, just as he spoke to these shepherds. Given, I think, we have more distractions in a lot of ways, but God speaks nonetheless. Note again how many missed the first coming of Christ. How many, I think, will miss the second. They have everything together. Well, I'll get right with God when I have all these things set in place in motion. Then I can focus. We cannot compartmentalize our faith. When we give our life to God, it's his life. When we expect and want God to do something in your life, you got to know that, hey, can you accept that it might not be the way you want? Can you trust and obey regardless if you can see the outcome, or if that outcome is not what you wanted? Will you still trust him? When you are sick and your body fails you, will you still call upon him and trust him even if the healing doesn't come the way you want? When you pray for something and it doesn't happen like it should, and you're like, is God even hearing me? Is this all a farce? Is it working? Have you asked yourself, have you been in the presence of God? Have you cultivated that by reading the word and worshiping him? Or do we often just come to God when it's a hard day, a tough time? We can play church and go to church, and a lot of people do it really well. But you know what? I can tell you. You know, I remind me of the disciples when they could tell that they were unlearned men, but they could see that they had been with Jesus. I believe it's because their countenance shows the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in their life, because they've been in a relational relationship with him in a way that people can see it. And I want that in my life every day. Not just when a day is hard or when it's tough. You might have great days ahead of you. You might have everything you've ever wanted. But one day, our bodies will fail us. Your vision will go. Your mind will slip. And you're like, I wanted to be encouraged today. I don't feel encouraged. It's coming. I have had the opportunity to be with a lot of people in passing. It's not something that I look forward to be honest with you, a lot of the time. And I can tell people that have the peace of God upon them when they go. And I can tell the people who don't. I can feel the difference just in the room. A good friend of mine, you've heard him in many sermons. He was the boss that I prided myself on not saying curse words. And then I would drive home from Reading, and I thought I would make myself feel a little better by allotting a good 15 minutes to let it all out. Given I wasn't pastoring or serving the Lord, nonetheless, you shouldn't be. I was venting. I had a lot to let out. I didn't want to bring that home to my wife, and I just wanted to get it out before I went home. That's what a good drive can do for you, right? And I remember venting, and I'm like, this guy, I cannot stand him. I had Marines that worked with us, and they're like, I can't stay with this guy. I want to take him out. He was the hardest boss to this day that I've ever had in my life. I would have not known that I would have grown into a great relationship with him when I started contracting. He was the first guy who taught me to frame. And I would have never thought in a million years that I would go to him when I was dealing with difficult customers and I didn't know what to do. I would go to him as a mentor to guide me and direct me and give me some wisdom. I would have never thought that I would sit in his living room, a guy that I'm telling you, I could not stand him. But when God gets a hold of a man, and that man chooses to get up on that potter's wheel and be reformed and changed more into the likeness of Jesus, more into a man of God, formed into what God wants him to be, that man becomes new, or woman. And I was with him last night as he went home to be with the Lord. He left this morning to go be with Jesus, and he was at perfect peace. And here's a man I could never stand. I would never think in a million years that God would use this man to speak so much into my life. And it wasn't the man, it was the man who yielded to God and allowed his mouth to be a mouthpiece and to speak what God puts on his heart And sometimes that person should just listen, and that's what he would do. And I can tell you the difference. What does this have to do with the message? Because in the part where it talks about peace, when it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests, that peace isn't just talking about a cessation in war where we get a truce and the firing stops. This peace talks about a reconciliation where God brings back that which is lost and broken unto himself. A peace. That's the peace. Not like the world gives, as Jesus told his disciples when they were discouraged, I do not give you like the world gives. Fleeting pleasures, fleeting peace. It only lasts for a moment. He gives something that stays. Foundational. A peace that your mind cannot comprehend, because people say, your world is falling apart. How can you be at peace? And they can say, you and I can say, it's because of Jesus. My peace comes from him. My house is built upon the rock, and it can take all the storms of life because I stopped building it on my own foundation and I let God build the house. If you let God build the house, it says if God doesn't build it, it's all done in vain, and you wonder why it doesn't work. Relationships, marriages, jobs. The only thing that sustains and holds us as believers is being in tune and walking with him more than anything else. You and only you alone know where you stand in that. You know if you're right with God. And when I think about that peace that he gives, goodwill to men, it speaks of the covenant relationship that God made all the way back in Genesis. He made it with Abraham, and we've watched it come through hundreds and hundreds of years. And here it is today, for us today, that peace, as it says in Jeremiah, that he doesn't want us to be his law to be on stone. He wants it to be written on the heart of men, where men walk in the newness of life and show the world that there is more. And to these mundane shepherds who were just doing their job, they were excited when they heard the news. They said, let us go. Think about that. When you think you're not making a difference, or you're not being seen, or your job doesn't matter, or maybe you get older in life and you realize you're not doing all the things you wanted to do and you wonder what your place is, that could all fit in the hearts of these men right here out in the middle of a field who thought that they had, nobody was looking at them or even probably looking out for them. But God shone his glory to them. He revealed himself to them. Why? Because their heart was in a place to receive, and then they went and did. Same with the fishermen. Think about it. When Jesus came to the fishermen, he waited till they worked all night long. These are skilled men in their trade. They know what they're doing. There's nothing worse than someone you don't even know coming up telling you how to do your job. And Jesus waited till they were tired and broken. And he says, go back out and cast a net. Somehow they said, there's something different about this guy. I think maybe we should do it. And can you imagine their face when the nets were breaking? Obedience will do so much more in our life. Just being obedient to what the Lord and the Father tells us to do. Think about that. He used Mary and Joseph. He used Zechariah and Elizabeth. People that you would bet everything against, those are the people that God uses. Because he shares his glory with no one. But I think those people are in a position, and they're already kind of broken and humble. And they're in a perfect place to receive what God wants. They have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. I'm blessed by that. When it says, peace to men in whom his favor rests on those who respond in faith. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. And I believe this speaks to everyone in this room. Everyone. Everyone, doesn't matter where you are. If you've called on Jesus and made him the Lord of your life, you've asked him to rule and reign in your life, and you mean it. You can know and read this every day and know that God is speaking to you. He is not a respecter of persons. He shares this. This goes for everyone. He wants to redeem and save, desires that none should perish. We can take what it's written here, even though prophetically at that moment it was speaking towards Israel, but it's also for us today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Not part of your heart, all of your heart. Keep in mind, he's doing this to encourage them after they brought themselves into a lot of trouble. They were disobedient. They weren't faithful. Just like a lot of us, we've made mistakes. We tell God one thing and then we do something else. And we go, and we think, this is what he wrote. Yes, there's consequences for the sins that you've done. There's things that are going to happen. But there's always hope. If you have a breath to breathe, do you know that the translation for the word in Genesis, when it says that when he breathed into Adam and Eve, that word pneuma, that same thing is the same as breath? That is what that word means. The Spirit is just like your breath. He breathed life into you. And then this miracle of a human body that God has fashioned from the dust of the earth, with the little way the heart beats in perfect rhythm and time, with electricity and pull. Think about all the things, and we can't see that God's mighty hand. It's not by chance. I told the story once. It's like you taking your iPhone and smashing it on a rock in a bag 100 times, maybe more, then throwing it off a cliff, then taking the bag out and scattering it on the ground and saying, yeah, it just all came back together, formed an iPhone. That's what it's like to say that we came from apes, in my opinion. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. We were made for God, for his purposes. And there is a peace, no matter what happens in this world, that only God can give. And do I believe in a God that heals? I absolutely do. I don't know why some people aren't and some people are. It doesn't matter. God knows. I trust him. But the ultimate healing over any physical healing is your spiritual healing. You being restored and reconciled back to God in the relationship that you were meant to have. That he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you to have. And even though the world is moving around us and things are changing and things are happening all the time, God does not change. Your ideas of what you want in life will change. Your perfect job will change. Your ideas of a future are perfect. Whatever you see in your mind, dream life, whatever it is, everything you think about how many times that's changed in your entire life from when you were young to who you are now. God has never changed. He is faithful. He is true. He is a redeemer. And he came in the form of a baby to show you. Not just so why did he come as a baby? Because he walked among us and experienced every pain and hardship in a way that you and I have had in this world. Jesus went without sin so that he could be blemish free and then willfully go to the cross and die for us. He who knew no sin became the sin so that me and you can be restored to God. That is the greatest Christmas message of all time. And it started with the baby. So you can't say, no one knows what I'm going through. You don't understand me. No, I don't. But God does. And he's the same today as he was yesterday. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. The end we can't even see. Generations and generations from now probably. And he has not changed. That is something you can bet your life on and your future. Because he's faithful. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord God, that you came as a little baby in a manger in the most humble means imaginable. Father, you were there. And that, Lord God, you spoke to those shepherds in the field, that you revealed yourself to them, that your glory, that Shekinah glory was around them, and they responded. And every little part of the story speaks of how you relate to us, God. I thank you that you've given us your word and that it's everything we need for life. Lord, you know those that have been on the fence in their walk with you. You know those that are struggling with grief and pain. And so, Father, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would overshadow, comfort them, and let them know that you are with them. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you give us the encouragement we need. I thank you that there's more to this life than what meets the eye. Lord, help us to set our mind on those things that are heavenly, that we wouldn't get distracted by all the things that will soon fade away, but that we will make ourselves right before you by submitting to you, Lord God. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for everyone that is here this morning and every child downstairs. I thank you that we can gather in your name and worship you freely. And so, Lord, I ask that as we go from this place, that, Father, we would be a light and people, everyone in this room, we would be encouraged to dig more and more in your word. And, Lord, that you would speak to us just as clear as day. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you go, sorry, I wanted to praise report Ricky and Ashley. Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. Come up here. And this is Annie. If you remember, we prayed for Annie, right, as a church, right? Amen. Yeah. What a blessing. God is faithful, amen? Thank you. Oh, it's so good. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer, church. And when we pray together, you know, it's important. It's important. When we pray together, God does things. God's moving. It's whether we want to get on the train or not. The train's moving. A lot of us just stand outside looking at everything but the train. Does that make sense? That's what's happening. But God's moving. We want to move with him. Amen. Talk to someone you haven't talked to. Be a blessing. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. May you go into prayer for next week too. Be blessed in Jesus' name.